in all of this, and to help focus my mind on this, I came up with this term, Anthropocene Librarianship. And my definition is, it is the active response that librarians make to the cause and effect of climate change so severe that humans are creating a new geological epoch. This new epoch, the Anthropocene, as I understand it, the details haven't been formally declared yet, but the International Geological Congress is working on it, and it'll be set soon about when the exact time for it is. But the basic idea is there's now a layer in the Earth that shows the people millions, thousands and millions of years from now. And back, I'm going to see the impact of humans. There'll be markers like radioactive fallout, one of the most important for us is this unprecedented rise in atmospheric carbon dioxide. So Anthropocene librarianship comes in many forms. It comes in the building of collections and preservation and all forms and carriers of knowledge and culture and code and data and research, sustainability of buildings and our practices and processes, preparation for droughts and storms and floods and climate migrations. Disaster response, providing reference services when disasters happen, lending technology, supporting crisis mapping. Climate migrations, providing services for migrants as they come in and preserving what has been left behind. Working with communities in all sorts of ways. Just here in Toronto, the Toronto Public Library makes itself open as a cool place when there's a heat wave in the summer, a warm place when there's a cold spell in the winter. Advocacy, information literacy and climate literacy, helping people understand about the science and how it's done, the politics and how that is done. And as librarians, when we're talking about research tools and helping people understand the research process, climate change is an excellent example. We could go around here from health to law to business to environmental studies, science, engineering, using climate change in Canada as an example of how to get into the right research sources. It's about free and open access of data and code and knowledge. It's about social justice. It's about the values that we share with many other groups and people, about preservation and conservation and stewardship and long time frames. And finally, it's also about the making of art, because the making of art should be a part of everything in life. So I'm going to talk about GHG.Earth. That is the name of the work, and it's also a domain name. If any of you pull up a web browser, you want to use Safari or Firefox at work. The GHG stands for greenhouse, and the Earth stands for Earth. So the composition is play the tone in hertz, equal to the atmospheric CO2 concentration in parts per million. So this is a musical composition, and that is the score. I'm going to play it in a sec. It's meant really as a background ambient sound, take a minute now, clear your head, listen to the sounds. It's going to sound a little annoying, it's going to sound a little glitchy, but that is what atmospheric CO2 concentration readings are like. Let's see if I can get to it. But that's it. It is a sonification of atmospheric CO2 concentration meant as this background ambient sound. It's a reminder for the greenhouse gases I like today, and then tomorrow the number will be about the same, a little higher, a little lower. The day after that, a little higher, a little lower. It's hard to hear the change from day to day because the changes are microtonal, but and I've never been able to remember yesterday well enough to be able to compare it to today, but I keep trying. The score is very simple. The score is very simple. There's no end specified. The website will last as long as I can maintain it, and then I plan to hand it on to someone else. I hope that it will play forever. There's no orchestration, no arrangement, no instrument, no timbre specified. I'll be changing the sound soon, but anyone can play this for as long as they want, however they want, anywhere. The number and the tone is going to keep up going for decades, and we will never hear it below 400 again in our lifetimes. That's the piece. For more about it, including links to all of the source code and some examples with the compressed time frames where you can hear things going up, click on the details link on the website. But now I'm going to explain a little more about one of the implications of this kind of sonification. That is the Keeling curve that we've seen a couple of times today. The CO2 number is taken every day from the measurements done in Mauna Loa in Hawaii, where they're recording that data. That's my artistic rendition of it. The CO2, of course, is going up and down every year in time with the seasons, as carbon is being dropped off by plants rotting and dying and then sucked in the next year as they're growing. And, of course, we're always adding more into the atmosphere, so every year it's getting higher and higher. About sounds, now that's the CO2, but what about the sound? Sounds come to us as vibrations through the air, measured in hertz, which is the inner frequency. 60 hertz means 60 times a second. And humans who can hear can usually hear something like a range of 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. It would vary a lot, but those are the rough ranges. Now, I'm going to ask my colleague Tim Knight, who's going to be my pianist today. Tim, if you can just go over to the piano and open up the keyboard. If you see an orchestra perform, then you will have heard them all tune before they get started to one note, and that is the A above middle C in the fourth octave on a piano, and by general convention, it's 440 hertz. Tim, can you play an A, please? Thanks. So, now 440 is pretty close to 404, which is today's atmospheric reading. Middle C is about 260 hertz, and that's pretty close to 280, which is the pre-industrial CO2 concentration. So atmospheric CO2, when you turn those numbers into tones by changing the hertz per million into hertz, falls pretty much right into the middle of the piano. So the 88 keys on a piano cover just over 7 octaves. There, you've got 7 full octaves. It's marked at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. And there's a mid at the very bottom and a mid at the very top. A0, the lowest key, is at 27.5 hertz. And then C8, the highest, is up around 4,200 hertz. Now, I've marked some of the important pitches in here. 180 hertz is about an F below middle C. And as I understand it, that's about the lowest CO2 concentration has ever gone. Glacial times, lots of ice everywhere. 280 is a C sharp, the black key, just above middle C. Tim, could you just play that C sharp? That is the pre-industrial concentration. 350, an E, is where some people think that we need to get back to. You probably heard about 350.org. Now 400, or 404, is just below G and G sharp. Just below G sharp, that's where we are now. Tim, could you please play G sharp? So, looking ahead with the models and these representative concentration pathways, which climate scientists would have to fully explain, not me, but they make predictions about how much CO2 is going to be in the atmosphere based on different actions that we take. RCP 2.6 is a best case scenario where, if I'm right, the emissions peak very soon, decline, and then by about 2070 we're removing carbon from the atmosphere. And in that case, by about 2100 we would be at about 420, which is just over G sharp. Just over G sharp. So we'd be switching from one side of G sharp where we are now to the other. RCP 8.5 is a very bad scenario, and with it in 2100, then we are at about 936 parts per million, which takes us up an octave to A sharp. So, Now, doubling the hertz makes a tone go up an octave. Halving, it makes it go down one. Tim, could you play that A440 again? And then go up an octave to, that's 880, and go down an octave to 2 down, that's 220 hertz. So this is an exponential scale, but a geometric progression. The CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere are not in an arithmetic progression, they're not changing by the same amount every year, but it's more or less going up by 2 or more every year now. We want to lower that number, then make it go less than 0, but it's 2, 1, minus 1, it isn't 2, 4, 8, 16. So the two numbers, the musical and the atmospheric, are on two different scales, literally. But it's very useful because it makes us focus our attention, because it means that we only have one octave to live in, that fourth octave on the piano from middle C up to B. That's where we have to stay. Pre-industrial, we were at C sharp. Tim, C sharp, please. And we're getting close to G sharp. G sharp. And we don't want to go into the next octave, which starts at about 525. So, Tim, can you play the C sharp, G sharp, all the notes between? That is 7 semitones on the piano. We've come up 7 semitones. We can go up another semitone, another whole tone maybe, but only if we're coming back down after that. So, thank you, Tim. All of human existence has been in just a few keys above middle C, and then you would make this awkward, clumsy melody rising quickly and uncontrolled, and the song will continue to go up for years. But we need to make it go back down, back to safety, and not up into the higher registers where human society, as we know it, can't continue. But that's long term. That's years and decades and centuries ahead. For now, day-to-day, GHG.Earth is there as an ambient sonification, reminding us and telling us day after day what the CO2 concentration is. You can listen to it, put it on in the background quietly. It'll fade out of your attention for a while, and then you start thinking about other things. So then it'll come back, and you'll hear it again, and you'll remember what it means, and you'll remember the situation that we're in today. I hope you enjoy. Thank you.